Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle 2023, based on 2023 full year VFACTS results.
G'day, AB here, producer Luke.
How have you and Luke both done that this week where it's clearly going to say the rush hour and you guys think you should come in at the rush?
I'm busy. I've got places to be.
For God's sakes.
Sorry to have stuffed it. Anyway, thanks to Ford.
Ford Ranger. Australia's highest selling vehicle.
Well, I like all of the Fords, but exceptionally so the Ranger. Mm-hmm. I read this in the paper today because obviously the Paris Olympics is coming up. Brisbane is a decade away, but still we got to start getting prepared.
And a mess.
It definitely won't go ahead. But anyway, the director of the Olympic and Paralympic Village in Paris said this today. We're aiming to have 300,000 condoms here at disposal in the athletes' village.
Oh.
She said that should be enough for the first week.
The shag ban has been lifted.
300,000.
I mean, at least it does make sense because you don't want lots of accidental Olympic babies.
No, hell you do. Absolutely you do.
Yeah, no, you don't.
That's future Olympians.
No, because then that's a year away from their chosen sport.
9 months. But you also could get a hybrid athlete like nothing else. You know, if you get someone who's like a trampolinist hooking up with a swimmer.
Who would you combine?
Diver.
Who would be your dream too? I'd go Kathy Freeman, Ian Thorpe. Obviously, Ian Thorpe in particular has different choices to what Kathy Freeman's
they could do
like
a triathlon.
Yeah.
Because they could swim and run. The swim and run would be great. Cycling, they'd trouble.
Do you remember his great rival? It was the Dutch guy,
Peter Van den Hoogenberg.
Yes. That was one of my favourite sporting rivalries.
Oh, no, that guy was the worst. And who was the girl? Michelle something.
Well, I don't think he swam against many
girls. No, but at the same time, there was a female Dutch swimmer.
Oh, Michelle Van den Hoogenberg.
What was her name?
I don't know.
I think she got done for doping.
Marion Jones got done for doping. She was the US track athlete.
Michael Phelps just loves dope.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's legal.
That's true.
It's big on it.
It's not performance enhancing.
Oh, Ingrid Bruin. Nah. That's right.
I remember that now. Who was she race against? Which big Aussies?
She would have gone up against Susie O'Neill.
Yeah, it was those kind of days. It was same sort of...
Patria Thomas. Liesl Jones probably raced against Ingrid Bruin.
Yeah,
but who was
did.
Our big female freestyle star?
Steph Rice.
Of course, yep. Because Madam Butterfly, obviously. Liesl Jones was breaststroke?
Mm-hmm. Breaststroke.
Yeah.
There was
someone that was a backstroke wizard too. I forget
who was our backstroke specialist?
Maybe someone
Jessica
knew
Shipper?
I don't remember that.
Okay. But yeah, Steph Rice was the freestyler.
I just saw Mac Horton retired too. I didn't know that.
Did he?
He's so young.
There you go.
Well, he's not.
I think he's been around for a bit.
No, Mac Horton, I think, is slightly younger than me. I met him a couple of times,
good
actually,
fella.
Mac Horton. Really, really good fella.
Looks like he was.
He seems like a nice person. When he stood up to that Sun Yin guy, I was like, that's noble.
I think everyone wanted a bit of Sun Yin. He was a dick.
So Mac Horton was at the Radio Awards randomly one year. I think it was 2016. And I had a couple of drinks and...
Alter Ego Luke was out.
Alter Ego Luke was out. And our boss at the time, he was also a menace. And I had confided that I was a big fan.
Right.
So naturally what you do when your mates are drunk is drag them over. And
you shame them, yeah.
I was actually speechless because... Love the Olympics, love all
He'd
that
so
kind of
tall.
Stuff. So I just was very speechless. Met him again a couple of years later at a triathlon event, and I just said, oh, look, you know, he's like, nice to meet you. I said, oh, I've met you before. We had this really weird exchange at the
Radio Awards. See, I think that's weirder that you said I've met you before. That makes it
weirder. Because he would never remember.
Yeah, exactly.
he remembered.
Oh, did he?
Oh, God.
You know, he's only 27.
Where do you come up to on his chest?
27, retired.
Where did you come up to height-wise?
Well, I think
he's only 6'3". That's my height.
Yeah.
Okay. So who do you reckon shags the most in the Olympic Village? Like, which athlete?
Oh, Michael Phelps.
Back in the day, Liz Cambridge, but
really?
Michael Phelps would have been.
I heard Michael Phelps.
No, I mean, what sport do you think is the most shagadelic?
I reckon the Jamaicans are busy, so I'm going to go to the running. I know Usain Bolt used to throw his weight around, literally.
Also, whatever events...
Asafa Powell.
Because do they get to stick around? So once their event's over, do they get to stick around?
Some of them can.
Okay, so I reckon it's whoever's event is first, and swimming's usually at the beginning.
But they normally go home after the first swim, the swimmers.
Because I was like, then you're just like, whatever.
I remember an interview with Tams and Lewis one time, and she said that, Asafa Powell from the Jamaican athletics team...
Used to get around.
He's busy.
Very busy, man.
Didn't you say... Bolt,
I have a friend that spent an evening with Usain Bolt.
True.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my. And is it...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Not it's shocking. Like Greg Norman in those shorts.
Has he got fast swimmers?
Oh, I look
I hope she wore protection.
Or maybe she did a Drake. And
I didn't ask if she wore protection, and that's disgusting.
Well, 9 months later, was she
yes.
the mother of his child? Or
of a mini lightning bolt. No, no. They just had one okay, wonderful cool. evening with him and his pork chop. Anyway, that'll do. Shortened show again today. Of course, the footy on tonight as we record it is Friday, the 22nd of March. Jamie Seymour, an animal that we didn't know was an a-hole of taking your job. Sorry, Luke. Queensland right. Zeros and Heroes for the week. We meet a groundskeeper who's the busiest man in Queensland and the worst incest story of all time. Have a great weekend.
What a balance.
We'll talk to you soon.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
This is Animal Fiction with Jamie Seymour.
Our expert in animal life, marine, land, everywhere in between from James Cook University, Professor Jamie Seymour. Hello, mate.
Hey, how are we? This fine Friday, other?
All the better for hearing your voice. The best thing is you'll always be part of the Rush Hour for as long as there's weird animal stories from across the state and the country. The headline we found this week, AB?
Yeah, do we find them, Jamie? Echidnas caught eating the eggs of Queensland's bum-breathing turtles, potentially endangering the reptile's future.
Are echidnas a-holes, Jamie Seymour?
No, they're just eating things. I mean, they're supposed to eat ants.
Right.
Wait, they got long sticky tongues. But the general consensus in this, talking to the scientists, is it's probably the female echidnas that are just they're about to give birth. And so what they're looking for is protein. And eggs of turtles have lots of protein. So they're digging them up and sticking their nose in and sucking the guts out of the turtle eggs. It's pretty cool, I thought.
Jamie, please. We've spoken to you before about this. I'm a little bit concerned getting you on in general because I think you're biased. You hate turtles. Is that correct? You think that they're the worst animal on earth. You've made that clear to us before.
True, yeah. Turtles aren't real smart. And here's a beautiful example. They lay their eggs and the echidnas come and suck the guts out of them. If it was smart, it'd stay there and guard them, wouldn't it?
Well, I would think that animals would work together in, I don't know, some kind of ecosystem and be friendly to each other. Like, how is an echidna benefiting themselves and their species by wiping out entire species of turtle, particularly bum-breathing ones, the best kind?
Yeah, this is a turtle that breathes through its bum. I mean, come on, not really. Because when you go down that track, if you're going to be a turtle in the water breathing through your bum, what you do is you get your bum open and what happens is things come and live in it.
Yeah, it happened to AB in Germany when she had a gap year.
I've been wanting to be a bum breather for a while, but it's never happened.
Yeah. The series of fish that live in the bums of things that do this, like sea cucumbers.
Right.
If they breathe through their bums as well.
What do they do on their weekend, Jamie, though? Do we have to shame them?
Well, no, because it gets even better, because some of the sea cucumbers don't want fish in their bums. So how do you stop them from getting in their bum? You have teeth in your bum.
Oh.
No, they have teeth. They have anal teeth.
There's a movie about that.
Okay. I don't want... Just while we're here, if the echidna is to go in and attempt to take the eggs from the bum breather with the anal teeth, if the anal teeth bum breather catches the echidna and they're mano-a-mano, you're very good at knowing who wins these fights, like crocs, fish, sharks. Who wins that battle and why?
Man, I want to go here because the turtle's going to win this fight.
Remove
your turtle bias.
Or with just normal skills.
Yeah, just they got a bite on them, then they're going to bite the nose and the toes. And
bite them with...
Not their anal teeth. No, just with the other teeth.
Okay. All right.
I mean, there you go. Bum-breathing turtles for the win.
Well, we learnt heaps. Echidnas suck and turtles don't have a point unless they have teeth in their butts. Professor Jamie Seymour, go and teach that one at university next week. At James Cook University, in fact. We always appreciate your time. Thank you for your wisdom.
No worries, guys. Have a great weekend.
Queensland, zero or hero.
It's the end of the week, Elliot, so we thought it was a good enough time each week to nominate our biggest legend and our biggest loser of the week in this great state.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not difficult by any means to find losers, sometimes less so heroes, so let's step up our game from now on, Queensland. However, the biggest loser from this week, I think you would probably very much agree with me on this. It's not necessarily a person. It's more of a government, but it's also the opposition as well. It's just the Queensland government and opposition when it comes to the Olympics.
My God.
unbelievable. So if you missed it, basically Stephen Miles came out this week after doing this big inquiry and investigation and said, we're not going to renovate the Gabba, which is apparently going to be redundant in 10 years anyway because it's so old. We're not going to build a brand new stadium. We're just going to do up the Nathan campus, which is an absolute shithole in Brisbane in the suburbs that they used for the Commonwealth Games in like the year 2000. So the Brisbane Olympics aren't looking good. The opposition leader, we thought he'd come out and go, oh yeah, no, no, no. If I get elected, I'm also going to build the stadium. No. David Crisafulli said, no, we're not going to also build a Victoria Park Stadium or renovate the Gabba. He's saying now, if we get elected, we're going to bring in a proper independent Olympic coordination authority, which just sounds like what they did before, but spending the money again to find the same outcome.
So Palaszczuk bottled it to start. Miles has kept on bottling it. The opposition is saying they'll continue bottling it.
Correct.
If they get in. So
I think we've got to can it.
What? It's like 500 mil or something like that it'll cost if we bugger it off, if we
and
say no now.
And this is the thing. People hate spending because they think it's going to be the worst thing in the world. If you build this new stadium in Brisbane, which it needs, by the way, because Suncorp Stadium is chockers 24-7. The Gabba's old as hell. Victoria Park, if you know Brisbane well, it's right in the middle of the CBD. It would be wonderful for a new venue. You could put music acts there regularly. This is 10 years ago away. These stadiums pay for themselves if they're used enough.
Yep. Well, the government is rightly so your loser for the week. I think you've selected well.
Or we're the losers because we're the ones that copped it at the end. Duh. Okay, now when it comes to heroes, this one does have a bit of a sad ending, but I want to give a huge shout out to the neighbours of this house that burnt down in Hermit Park in Townsville. It happened on Tuesday night. Basically, they heard a couple of loud bangs at around 11:15 p.m. and these four neighbours made their way into the house, no questions asked, to try and save this bloke. Three of them ended up in hospital with burns to hands, lacerations to arms, smoke inhalation as well. The police constable, Brendan Horsley, was actually interviewed afterwards and asked about the actions of these neighbours.
The actions of those members of the public, courageous. They've put their own safety at risk.
Unfortunately, the gentleman inside the house did pass away. They were unable to reach him. But just the fact that they thought absolutely no will for their own lives. Stuff it. We don't care if we get hurt. We know that someone lives here and we're going to go in regardless.
That must be, and I've never been in that situation, thankfully, but I don't know what your brain would do when you know someone's in there when you can see it's engulfed by flames and smoke and you've got no idea whether you'll get out yourself. I don't know whether that's a tough decision or whether your brain just switches off and you do it.
Yeah, it's like that fight or flight moment.
Yeah, wild.
Either way, if you live in Hermit Park in Townsville and you know these three, please give them an extra pat in the back, an extra hug, because they'll be going through it this week. But very, very heroic from them. Very worthy heroes.
Bloody hell.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
We're about to speak to the bloke that I think has had the busiest week in Queensland, out of any politician, any copper, out of anyone, anywhere.
And there's been a lot of crap on, so.
Dead set. So this bloke is the head groundsman at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. If you haven't been there yet, that's in the northern parts of the state in Townsville, normally the home ground for the North Queensland Cowboys. However, this week it is the home ground for Pink. She's playing two concerts, one tonight, one tomorrow, from a 25,000 capacity football stadium to, I'm told, maybe 40,000 there tonight. The gentleman that joins us, Bruce Foraker. Hello, mates.
How are you?
Doing really well. Congrats on having a great name that matches your job, by the way.
I get that all the time, yeah. When I was younger, my parents, didn't feel the need to convert to the metric system. Otherwise, it would have been 1.61 hectares.
That's very
it's
good.
A bit of a mouthful.
Bruce, I've seen the video of Queensland Country Bank where literally you guys have done a week's worth of work and it all changes and the video takes 30 seconds. How do you even get started trying to transform something this huge?
Well, we're sort of given a bit of a timeline. Immediately after the Cowboys game, we had to get the goalposts down and off the field so they could start bringing the stage out, basically, and the worst possible result, the Cowboys extra time, so we had to wait another 10 minutes, and then Cowboys win, so they do a lap of honour around the ground and they throw their kids over the fence room to take around. So it goes from a football field into a creche, so we have to wait for all that to get off. Then we had, I think, an hour to get the goalposts down and off the field, which there's only me and my mate Adam, and we got it down and off. So then they just start, it starts then, like it's amazing. And then the next morning they had everything around the stage and the bottom level of the stage built, and during the week you see the stage get bigger and bigger and higher and higher, and then they put mixing desks in and audio tents and then delay towers at the back of the field. It's just amazing. Then after that's finished, they cover the whole ground in this white plastic sheeting called TerraFloor. So you can't see a blade of grass when you walk out there now, which is amazing. It's all covered and hopefully all protected. We probably will lose a bit where the stage is, but we've got some grass on standby to ship up, and we'll put that in immediately after the concert if we have to.
I'd love to know, Bruce, I mean, you'd probably see other stadiums around Australia, in particular shout out to Suncorp Stadium. It just seems to be back-to-back concerts, different games, different sports over and over again. Do you guys all communicate, get tips from each other and tricks on how to make this as least hellish as possible?
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of a network going. I spoke with Matt Oliver from Suncorp a couple of times. He sent me a few pictures of how the ground came up after Pink. It's funny because she did a couple of concerts there, so they had to replace the turf, and then they played a couple of games on it. Then she came back and did more concerts, and then they had to replace the turf that they replaced. So it's just a never-ending sort of cycle. But it's something now that blokes like people at Suncorp, SCG, MCG, they're just they've got to get used to it, because that's what's happening now. There's a lot of money in concerts.
Now on the night, do you sit up somewhere with binoculars and do you cringe if you see producer Luke twerking on your grass and kicking up divots or
he drops it
stage?
Low.
Yeah.
No, I'll be in my office just listening to it. I've got security cameras near, so I can have a bit of a look. But I try not to worry too much about what I can't have any effect over. So at the end of the day, hopefully everything's up by Monday. We can walk out and say, all right, we need to replace this. We can do this. And just sit back and sort of make a few decisions then. And then we've got about 9-10 days till the next Cowboys game. So we're really confident we can. The grass we replace is called ready to play turf, so they can dig it up and put the new stuff in and basically play on it the next day. It's amazing. It's a big roll of turf cut really thick. They roll it out and then they roll it into place and give a bit of compaction, and it's ready to go.
So advanced.
Yeah, it's used everywhere over the world, actually, and places like, as I said before, Suncorp, Sydney Cricket Ground, MCG, all those bigger venues, it's just a common thing. It's not uncommon for them to do the whole field at the beginning of the year.
The ultimate lawn porn enthusiast is Bruce Foraker, the head groundsman at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Congrats on a mammoth task, mate. Excited to see what the photos look like tonight, and hopefully at some stage you get a chance to put your feet up and have a beer. Good on you, mate.
Good on you. Thanks very much. Good to talk to you.
Obscure history with Elliot Lovejoy.
I want to tell you a story today about one of the most incredible women I've ever heard of. I'll flash you back to World War II. In the 1800s, they attached bells to the coffin door and the arms of the people, so if they're still alive, they'd hear a bell on top of the grave and they'd dig them out. Saved by the bell.
That was
literally ride shotgun. So the passenger would carry a shotgun in order to scare off robbers who might want to attack them. Now, producer Luke is here as well. I have an interest in modern history that's only really hit the last 18 months or so. Apparently that's a thing when men get to, we'll say, middle age.
Yeah, because they start buying all the DVDs of World War II documentaries and stuff.
I don't know if people buy DVDs anymore, but yeah, long
time. No, they go to the Nat Geo. That's like the thing they do.
Found a story from 2014, so particularly modern history today that, and I had to fact check it about 6 times to make sure it was correct, and it's 100%. So stay there and sit along for the journey. So 2014. Oh. And I also want you to
extremely
think
modern
at
history.
The end of this what you would do. Adriana, a 39-year-old from Brazil, she wanted to find her mother who abandoned her when she was just an infant. Very sad story, actually. Tried and tried and tried, couldn't do it. Eventually, there was an opportunity for Adriana to go on a TV show where they basically helped with this kind of stuff. They helped locate her mother, eventually found the mum, and the two had a really emotional reunion and apparently have a good relationship now. During the interview, her mother, Maria, revealed that she'd also abandoned Adriana's infant brother, Leandro.
Mm.
The twist would be that Adriana's husband turned out to be...
No. No.
Leandro.
No!
Despite the pair being siblings, they vowed not to separate.
Have they had children?
I don't know.
Is this, I mean, Brazil might be a bit different with the laws.
Whether it is or isn't,
it's still
like
not
I want
right.
you again to think of yourself and Alex. I mean, you could, those could be siblings or dating. They're similar physical things. But
what, blonde hair?
Well, just in the face. Both unkind faces. if you found out,
gosh, you're a charmer.
What Adriana found out? What do?
Break up.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'd get some serious counselling
and, you're
and
also,
separate.
You're pregnant too.
I mean, that's another step. But yeah, no, I probably wouldn't stay with them. I mean, if I was in this state, it's probably a bit late. What's done is done.
Yeah.
But
what do you do with the child?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need to go into that.
This is the problem.
Right.
And this is why, like, Ancestry.com is flooded with instances like this where people will go on, like, just, okay, if you want to be a dirty root rat or you want to abandon your kids, whatever, sure. Just put it in writing, please, for the rest of us.
So I did hear a thing where your biological siblings are actually an image of the person that is actually the most attractive to you. But because you grow up in an environment where you're taught to be brother and sister or brother and brother and sister, you don't ever act on that. Oh. But because they were separated at birth, that is why they potentially found each other attractive and ended up together.
No, like if I saw my brother on the street, I'd be like,
your sister, on the other hand, she's hot. anyway, shout out to Adriana and Leandro. Love is love, I guess. Nah.
And once again, put it in writing, people.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot. Rush Hour.
Wouldn't you rather be driving Australia's number one selling vehicle of 2023? Ford Ranger? Discover why at your local Ford dealer.